people who love them.
Hello and welcome back. This is The Thing About Cars, recording as usual in Strongbox West in the beautiful city of Atlanta, Georgia. I am Mickey Desai. Around the table we have some old friends and some, well, even older friends. Let's do some quick introductions.
Ben.
Ronnie.
Becca.
I'm David.
David's the newcomer to this microphone, but we've known Dave for quite a long time, and he's got, an interesting story that's worth talking about. But before we get to David's issue, I've got some business we need to take care of. We are doing some fundraising these days. We don't have a Patreon yet, but keep your eyes open for that. We will put one up. But our job in front of us is to try to raise a little bit of money to improve our recording gear. We're aware that we need to improve the quality of our podcast, and we really want to do that for you guys, the listeners. So with your help, we can actually do that. We're looking to buy a new series of microphones and maybe even a new recording deck if we can afford it. So please check out our blog and check out our Facebook page for some more information on how you might be able to help us do that. In the meantime, let's just jump right into Dave's issue, I guess. Is that the right word for it?
Yeah, pretty much. So I've got a 2010 BMW, and it got affected by the Takata airbag recall.
How many car companies was involved with the Takata? Do they pretty much do everybody?
Not everybody, but a lot of them.
My goodness,
my Mazda was not affected.
Appreciate it. Well, fortunately, there was a second recall open at the same time for some blower motor wiring, and so I was able to get it in for both at the same time. And when I get there, you know, they say, no problem, appointment scheduled, and the service advisor comes out a little few minutes later and says, well, we think you need to get a microfilter replaced and a brake fluid flush.
Microfilter being the cabin filter.
Cabin air filter, yeah. They call it microfilter to sound a little fancier.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course. So you went to the dealership, and they thought you needed to do a whole bunch more stuff.
Having looked up some of this after the fact,
But Dave wrote to me and Ben and said, am I getting ripped off?
Yeah.
And Ben and I both thought about it, and Ben responded immediately, and he says, yeah, I think so. Right? What did you say, Ben?
Yeah, pretty much. I thought they were, you know, trying to do an upsell on him.
Right. And then after a little more poking around, because Dave's really good with his research, you found out?
Found out that BMW's service manual actually does recommend having the cabin air filter and the brake fluid flushed every 2 years, both. And the car hadn't been to the dealer for 2.5 years. I've had oil changes elsewhere. So while it had only driven 2,600 miles in 2 years, the poor BMW needs to get out a little more,
right. It
was based on time ready. So, you know, did the dealership do a check to see if the brake fluid was had too much moisture in it? No. They just said, well, BMW schedule says do it. Your car says do it. We're going to tell you to do it.
So they're following a script.
Yeah. And, well, in the end, I still feel like I got ripped off because they came back about 2 hours later and said that the car needs $4,600 worth of work on the shocks, the struts, and the brakes.
Good grief.
And in all honesty, I knew it had some suspension problems. And so I said, okay, stop what you're doing. I'm going to go get a second opinion when it's that much. I mean, I already felt a little bit ripped off from the air filter, which I hadn't known was in the manual because BMW didn't give me that manual. BMW gave me the car manual, not the schedule manual, but it was on their website. So I take it to another mechanic that I've used for years, and they get it in their shop, and they took a look at it and go, yeah, I don't know how you're driving on these struts. They're basically completely blown. But your brakes look brand new. And so I pull out my service records from that same dealership, which 2.5 years ago I had to do a complete inspection because our warranty was expiring. So I had them do everything top to bottom to look at because it would still be under warranty. And they showed the other brakes. So this time they're telling me I think it's the front brakes need replacing. But 2.5 years ago they said the front brakes are just fine. The rear brakes might need to be looked at. They're telling me I need about $1,500 worth of work on them this time. And then my mechanic says, no, they're perfect. They got about 7 millimeters left, not the about 1 millimeter from the sensor that the dealership told me.
Yeah, so there are a couple of things I can address and answer in those regards. Is that all there is?
That's where we're at. I ended up having the shocks and the struts done. The car drives better.
Okay.
That was a notable fix. But they said, you know, the brakes were listed by the dealer as being within 1 millimeter of the sensor.
Mm-hmm.
And the right, and that the rotors had a lip.
Okay.
And the second mechanic I take it to says, no, none of that's true. They're in both the front and the back brakes are in good shape. And I went right back in. Once I got back to the car and I looked up what the car was telling me, I went right back in and said, are you sure you told me the right set of brakes, the front versus the rear? Because the car says the opposite. Mm-hmm. And that's when then I get home and I pull out the, here's the report that they did 2.5 years ago, mm-hmm. and it's checked good on the front and not good on the back. Mm-hmm. And if I mix them up, I do that. But
what model of BMW is it?
335i.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
See, it's just not funny when you have a joke and you're biting your tongue for so long. It's just not funny anymore. I was going to say, don't you hate it when your rudders give you a lip?
Yeah.
It's so hard to keep that in.
So European cars in general are a different breed of vehicle in terms of how they suggest your maintenance and also in the components they use. I will give BMW in credit in saying some of their maintenance components are some of the best components you can use in the market. Their brakes are phenomenal. Their brake fluid is some of the best I've ever used. Their coolant is some of the best I've ever used. So I will give credit where it's due on that front. However, when you're using high performance items like that, they do have a tendency to wear out with no use, which is grave misfortune. So your brake fluid, 2 years is typically the threshold of when it will just absorb moisture, whether you use it or not. And it's one of those sensitive driver things. You can tell a difference if you are an extremely sensitive driver, once you do flush out your brake fluid after 2 years. Becca, you got something?
Oh, I was just going to make a side note. We're specifically saying BMW, but it would be good to let everybody know, because it's not the first time I've heard somebody say, I've only put this many miles on a car. All of the fluids in cars, gas, oil, all of that, even if you barely drive the car, will break down in one way or another. Like you were saying, what was it, humidity buildup or just a breakdown of the product.
That's the reason you have to move a car around.
Right. So in general, even if you don't drive a car much, if it's a project car or something, keep in mind, it doesn't matter how many miles. If it's something that can break down, it's something that you still have to periodically change.
Correct. And so to all our listeners, I will give you this advice as well. If a manufacturer ever says that you have lifetime fluid for any system, there is a service bulletin hidden somewhere within the manufacturer's guidelines. And it will, and no one will know this. Your service advisor won't know it. Your technicians won't know it. Maybe your service manager might if they've been there for a long time. Lifetime means 100,000 miles, period. So if you're over 100,000 miles, you are well due for replacing your transmission fluid. You are well due for replacing your coolant. Even if they insist that they will not do it because the car doesn't need it, insist that you have it done. Mm-hmm. And usually with transmission fluid, I strongly advise that you have the dealership do it. Because if you take it to, I don't know if we're allowed to say their name.
Joe Blow Mechanic.
Right. If you take it to a quick lube spot, they will use whatever fluid they have available because that's what they get a discount on. And that's what will destroy whatever component you're dealing with. But if you have OEM replacements, then you have an OEM warranty to follow therein. So if...
Well, what about like an AMCO? Then all they do is transmissions.
I would not trust AMCO for a German vehicle because they are just so far out there. AMCO is great for USDM products. They even do well on older JDM products. But when it comes to 7-speed and 8-speed transmissions with, you know, if it's a DKG or a dual clutch wet transmission system, I wouldn't trust an AMCO for that. That's very specialized stuff. And even at the dealer level, typically with a dual clutch transmission or something similar, we'll take it out and we'll ship it off to a specialist from where it was originally manufactured, put a remanufactured piece in, and be along your way.
So if you work for AMCO or if you know someone who does and you can refute these statements, please, we want to have you join us here at the table to correct our misunderstanding on that.
Oh, yeah.
Becca?
Yeah. And then it fell out of my head. one of the things that I have noticed with just Joe Blow Mechanic Shop, some of them are having more difficulty with the sealed transmissions. They're becoming more and more common in a lot of cars. It's just a lot of it has to do with level testing. Some of them are just having some issues. I think I've sparked something with Ronnie over here. But also there are European places that could potentially rival dealerships when you're looking at BMW, cars like that, since that's what they do day in, day out. They're not Joe Blow having every single car come in. So another thing that I've seen, some places, especially if you have a friend, you can bring your own fluids and filters and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, Dave, what happened? I mean, you got the car fixed.
Well, it's driving better. I had the mechanic I've been using for years on. We got a 1995 Toyota Avalon, so even older and driving way too long past its expiration date. I got to remember that 100,000-mile thing because we might have a few.
There's never an expiration date. Just take care of it.
Absolutely not.
No.
Yeah. Toyota will go forever.
My Ford is well past that. It's
my Mazda with the Ford drivetrain in it is 300,000 miles now.
Exactly. It's just love your cars.
My Infiniti has 427,000 miles on it.
What?
Yeah. It's just sitting in my driveway right now waiting for the 25-year law because it can't pass emissions. Yeah. It's great.
Oh, so that's what I can do with the Pontiac then. I'll just leave it rotting in the garage. It's an 09. So
just
let's see. How many years?
Change your fluids every 2 years.
Yes.
You got a little while on that 09, though.
Yeah.
The 95 is 1 year away, but it still passes.
So, I mean, just to go back to the original point, do you feel like you threw away money on anything unnecessarily based on what's happened?
I think the dealer did charge more, and I probably didn't need the microfilter. It's been a garaged car, and if we'd pulled it out and taken a look at it and said, you know, this looks perfectly clean, you could probably go another year or two, and that's your choice because it's an air filter. The fluid, yes, I'm glad I did it. That was fine. I wish that the service advisor had simply said, this is on the BMW schedule, not you need it because of time.
Right.
And not even addressing the fact we only have 2,600 because they could have.
And the other thing with fluids is, if you change them, you're at least, you're doing no harm. New fluid's always better than fluid of any given age. Yeah.
Well, you're doing no harm if you stick to OEM spec.
Right, exactly.
But back on the microfilter being garaged, it's the cabin air filter. Garages and stagnant air environments will more likely breed mold and mildew and things like that. So you haven't had, I guess, the airflow going through the filter as well as the car. So it's
especially in
Georgia. Right. And there's a toss up. You know, outside you've got issues, inside you've got issues. Yeah. But yeah, somewhere like Georgia, if it's your breathable air, know,
it's still $150 that
this is a
$20 to $70 part depending on what you're talking about. 5 minute installation according to the second, but they charge $70 for the service. It's $20 more than it was 2 years ago because I did it 2.5 years ago as well. So it just sort of it looks like a profit center.
And it's one of the many things about just imports in general, not even BMW, that drive me crazy. Is it a part that you can service yourself, or is there a light involved, or is it too difficult? Do you have to remove the engine to get to it kind of thing?
It's apparently a little bit more to get into, but the other mechanic wasn't worried about changing it out at all.
Yeah, no, it's a piece of cake to replace.
I don't know about easily user serviceable by somebody with my level. I mean, Ben, I'm pretty sure, could do it.
If I know where it is.
You've got some people here.
Yeah.
I just had to take out the glove box and it was right there behind the glove box.
Oh, no, the BMW is even easier. It's 6 8-millimeters under the hood on top of a tray. It's hidden. You just take the 6 8-millimeters out, and then you pop these two clips and the whole thing falls out.
I might have enough tools then in the car right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so thank you for sharing.
Well, the brakes are the one that still throw me.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a good answer for that. They said it's the opposite brakes of what they said 2.5 years ago, that we're going to need future work. And, it's one thing I didn't hear Ronnie or anyone else say anything about on that part. I mean, we knew something was off with us in it. Mm-hmm. I just can't help but feeling at the end, like they said, well, he's going to have about $3,500 worth. Can you throw something else in? And because we can't, or they were looking at the wrong car, got something just completely wrong. But I went back inside and had the service advisor check with the mechanic again. And they came back and repeated, no, it's within 1 millimeter of hitting the sensor. And then second mechanic, different shop, says, no, you've got about 7 millimeters on both the front and the brake. These look almost brand new. No lip on the rotor.
I'll comment on that also. So 1 millimeter from the sensor touching is actually... I hate it because it's such a tricky statement.
Yeah.
Okay. So 1 millimeter of the sensor still means you have 6 millimeters of life on the pad. Because the sensor...
they're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
One sounds scary, and the other is you've got years of... Right. Your mileage, you've got years
worth. So, wait, Ronnie, you're saying that they were trying to scare him into doing the work?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm going to...
He bows his head.
I'm going to give everyone a little bit of perspective from the mechanic's point of view and from the service advisor's point of view at the dealership level, because it sucks on both people's ends. I don't want anyone feeling like they're the only victim in this formula. So I'll say what my pay rate was and what it was like for me as a mechanic. I got paid $20 an hour as a master, which isn't a lot of money for the skill set that I had to learn.
Hard labor every day, yes.
Right, for everything I did. And on top of that, I think I've explained this before, but I was on something called a flat rate system, which means you get paid for however much the book tells you you're getting paid. So your car comes in. I spend 30 minutes hunting your car down on the parking lot because the valet didn't know where to park it or label it. Find your car. Valet. Try to bring it into my shop. Make sure I don't hit anyone else's cars because no one indicates whether they're coming out of their stall or not. So once I get your car safely into my stall and I hook up what's called we'll just call it a scanner. I hook up the scanner so I can do a short test to figure out what computers are saying what. I go through what's called your CBS data. Like if you see a little icon pop up in your instrument cluster, sometimes it glows yellow, sometimes it glows red. It looks like a vehicle is on a lift. If you have an iDrive, you can go through that and see what services are due in accordance to what's called condition-based services, which means it's either due by time or mileage. So you can scroll through that yourself in vehicle information and find out what's wrong or not. But I look at all of that and I'm looking through and let's say this is a Thursday and I only clocked, I don't know, 20 hours for the week. I would be inclined, especially if I have a family at home, to sell whatever I can because if I've only had 20 hours by Thursday, that means I only have $400 gross for the week. So I come to the customer and I see that, okay, I hate this tactic, but the sensor is 1 millimeter away from being knocked into, and once your brakes actually knock into the sensor, then you'll get a warning light saying that your brakes are due. The thing is, there's two filaments inside of that sensor. One gives you a warning, and the second one says you need to change your brakes right away. So if you're 1 millimeter away from the warning, I'm going to try and sell you now, because chances are, at these prices, you may not come back. So if I can sell you here and now, and you don't come back, at least I got something. Because one way or another, you have to know whether something is due or not. Service advisor kind of thinks the same way. Service advisor gets paid, gosh, it's off of gross profit, varies from dealer to dealer. But say you get paid $1 for every hour sold, you know, or something along those lines. Or, you know, there's a percentage of the gross profit that you sell. Say you get 10% of whatever sold. That's still not a lot of money on a $3,000 bill. You get, you know, $300 for the week, and that's if you got the $3,000 sale. So they're very inclined to sell as much as they can because either you're going to want dealership level service or you're not. And I can't justify the cost, like I can't justify the price being an outside entity now, because not only are you paying for the technician, his training, his tools, etc., nor are you just paying for the service advisor, but you're also paying for other people's loaner cars. You're paying for other people's cafe experience, the lounge, all those fancy amenities that you see and make you feel welcome. Those high-speed garage doors as you drive in to the service lane gets tacked on in your
$140
to $150 an hour for labor, plus your 80% markup on parts, plus sales that may not, your car may not need. So it sucks for the customer. It sucks for the mechanics and the advisors. And that's part of why I do my own thing now. But at the same time, you're also paying for cutting edge technology. And, you know, the brakes are absurdly expensive. I think it's $800 per axle. If you want to do pads and rotors, the rotors are non-serviceable. Irrespective of what anyone tells you, if you try to get your rotors cut, they will squeal horribly within 1,000 miles.
Why is that?
It's just the compound in the material. It soaks up a lot of heat. And so it doesn't matter how much of a surface you remove, it's still going to be glazed or worn. So we usually recommend rotor replacement at that point. And God, brakes is like the bread and butter of any mechanic. It's it's the most mindless, highest paying job we can do. And we love doing brakes. If I could do just BMW brakes at my shop, one, I would be very wealthy. And two, I would still be a mechanic happily because it's just so easy.
Mindless work, though. If y'all recall me trying to change the brakes on the Pontiac last time, and I was running into every problem imaginable.
Yeah.
So I'm over here laughing at the easiest job. Easiest job on any car, but Pontiac.
Well, and then you've heard it straight from the mouth of Master Mechanic that, you know, we've had quite an expose here today because of what Dave's brought to the table.
Yeah.
But
I hope that answers your experiences, though.
It does.
I would recommend that you take your foreign vehicles, your European vehicles, to a reliable, trustworthy, independent mechanic. That is not a plug for my shop at all, because...
No, go ahead and plug your shop. How would people find you, Ronnie?
If you want to find my shop, look up Limitless Automotive on Facebook, or you can find me on Facebook. Again, my name is Ronnie Matthew, RonnyMathew. Shoot me a message. I'm happy to talk to you about your car, but I'm also not the kind of guy that takes on work very easily. If I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it.
Which is the story of my life with the one car. Nobody.
So cool. I mean,
but if it's brakes, if you have BMW, general car questions, Ronnie's yes. your guy.
All day. All day.
On that note, let's sign off. We are out of time. But yeah, if you have car questions or just questions about the thing about cars, do write to us. If you need a reliable, independent mechanic, go talk to Ronnie. Let's see, what else we...
Or I'm going to plug Eric, too.
Yeah, plug Eric.
He's a fabulous technician. Well, I can't say technician. What's the right word?
He's a technician.
I didn't want to short sell him. I know we'd had a conversation about the titles, but...
Mechanics are aged technicians.
Neither here nor there. I blame my brain fog on my cold.
Plug him already.
Oh, my good God. What is it? Auto Europe. Eric at Auto Europe.
Is he at that's his email?
I will just have to put it on our Facebook page.
Okay.
All right, my email is limitlesscars.
We'll get Eric to come online. We do want Eric to come back, but we talked briefly about doing something special with Eric, and we need to figure that out. So thanks, as always, for joining us. This has been The Thing About Cars, recording at Strongbox West, as always. Please check out our Facebook page and our blog online at thingaboutcars.com. We've been trying to do some fundraising to raise capital for new microphones and other gear. There's other exciting news on the horizon that we'll be telling you about. We'll probably appear on the blog first, so check that out. And we'll see you same time next week. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.